Brad Locke.
And I'm Dalton Milton.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Today's show, we will begin with a moment of silence. Rest in peace, Brawlton.
Mm-hmm.
Brawlton is no more. What a shame. No more Brawlton Award come football season. You're leaving me.
Well, I guess it could be the Brad Award for now.
Something.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, if you haven't heard the news by now, Dalton is not leaving per se. He's just taking on a new role at the Journal as the Mississippi State beat reporter after 3 years of being the high school sports specialist. This is a fancy title. I didn't get that title when I was in your position back in the day. I was just prep editor.
I think I like prep editor better. High school sports specialist sounds a little pretentious.
And it's a mouthful. It's very pretentious, says the guy with the title of senior sports writer. Whatever. They gave it to me. I don't care. So anyway, yeah, this will be the last Prep Rally podcast with you as co-host.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is it.
It's sad, but...
But, you know, you got to move on to other things. I mean, I've been on that beat before, and I think you'll do fine. You've done great here, covering high schools and whatnot. Okay, enough mushy stuff. We do have a podcast. Our monthly podcast is what it's become because of everything shutting down. But things are starting back up a little bit, and we'll get to that in just a moment. First, I want to remind you that you can catch this podcast in iTunes. It's also in pretty much any of your podcast apps, and you can stream it online as well at preprally.djournal.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps for updates on all things high school sports in Northeast Mississippi. And as I said, high school sports are back after a fashion. Of course, the MHSAA stuck with that June 1st restart date so teams can start getting back together and practicing skill development and all that fun stuff. So it's not like it usually is. Obviously, you've got all these precautions in place. But football, well, that's the big one, obviously, because there was no spring football, and the season is coming up in just, 2.5 months?
Yeah.
So teams are able to get back out and do something, either on the field or in the weight room or both. And you went out to Tupelo on Monday, and they were outside on the playing field, weren't they?
Yeah, and it's hard to say that a football is back whenever they can't actually do anything with a football yet.
Right.
But, I went to Tupelo. They were outside. New head coach Ty Harden said that they're not going to be inside. They're not going to be touching the weights. You know, anything that can, you know, spread the virus, they don't want to be doing at the moment. So they were outside. They had, I think, 7 or 8 different stations set up across the Tupelo football field. Had about 85 students there, 85 players there, and they just, you know, they were just doing some outside work, you know, cone drills, shuffle drills, you know, shuttle drills, not shuffle drills.
That's what I would be doing if I were, I'd be shuffling along.
Mm-hmm. Ladder drills, stuff like that. Just, you know, stretching, doing some sprints and stuff. Nothing too crazy, but, you know, a lot of the kids looked like they were in pretty good shape. So
yeah, that's one big concern I know coming back is a lot of these kids didn't have a place to work out, or, you know, they're teenagers and sometimes they can get lazy, just like the rest of us. But if you don't have a coach there pushing you all the time, it can be difficult.
And they had a pretty good little setup. You know, Coach Harden, they were all socially distanced for the most part. You know, it's hard to contain 85 kids, you know, when they're walking around talking to each other.
Right.
But, you know, for the most part, everyone was 6 feet apart from each other. You know, Coach Harden had a hand sanitizer that, you know, I don't even know where it came from. I saw a picture. Give it to some kid. I don't know where he got it from, but pulled out of his pocket or something. But, you know, they were doing a good job of following all the guidelines and everything. I know I talked to him, and he was real worried. He wanted to do things the right way because, you know, one coach doing it the wrong way could end up mess up the season for everybody.
Right, exactly. They had, you know, these summer workouts are voluntary. The MHSAA said they are voluntary because of the health concerns. But Tupelo had a pretty good turnout, didn't they?
Yeah, 85 kids. Yeah, I don't know how many kids they're going to have on the actual team. I imagine, you know, the largest school in the state would probably have closer to 100, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say the very first day of practice, you have 85 kids out there on a Monday, you know, because a lot of kids are probably working, I'm sure,
right?
You know, 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. I know when I was in high school, I was working during the weekdays. You know, I wouldn't have been able to been there. So, you know, 85 kids, that's a solid turnout right there.
Yeah, it is. And, of course, everybody pretty much, not everybody. And there are some teams that I think are waiting a little bit longer mm-hmm. to get back to work. But Morville was also out there. We had Parrish Alford go out there Monday to check on the troopers, and I believe they had about 51 kids turn out for the 4A school. That's a good turnout there. And, you know, they had of course, they had to do the keeping guys 6 feet apart or whatever. They had dots on the field that they put on there to make sure everybody stayed correct distance apart. And, you know, pretty much just doing the same thing as Tupelo was doing. Can't really do a whole lot with the ball. Of course, some of these kids not only working out, sometimes they'll get with each other, and like quarterback will throw with the receivers
right.
on their own, and you know, that's fine, I think. So, good to see football teams getting back to work. I'm trying to remember which teams have kind of delayed restarting.
I know Boonville is, their entire athletic department, when I was talking to Michael Smith on Monday afternoon, said that they're trying to decide when is the best time to come back, so they pushed it back, I think, at least a week.
Yeah.
And then there's other schools like Pontotoc to where only the fall sports are practicing right now. Winter sports are have to wait till August.
Right.
I think Baldwin might be waiting a week or so. There's a couple of schools that are a little different because every school district has their own policies.
Right, exactly. And I went out to Nettleton on Tuesday to check out the girls' basketball team. That was actually their first day of work was Tuesday because, again, they're a winter sport. So anyone involved in a fall sport, say volleyball, they started on Monday. So, you know, you got probably some of these girls playing both of those sports. So Monday was fall sports, Tuesday was winter sports, and they're going to keep, I guess, that kind of schedule going forward. But obviously, they were happy just to be back out there,
right?
You know, with their friends in the gym. I talked to a couple of players, you know, it seems like, you know, we haven't been able to really hang out or do anything together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they did get the season in. Basketball ended right before all this happened. But still, a lot of these girls also play softball, for instance, and so they weren't able to do that. And that, you know, playing another sport helps keep you in shape, obviously. Mm-hmm. But they're taking things slowly. And, you know, mainly right now, of course, it's about conditioning, making sure everybody is in shape or getting back into shape. And then, you know, they did do some work with the basketball, mainly ball handling drills, stuff like that, and some cone drills and whatnot. So, Ingemar, you went out there to check out the boys, the 1A state champs, pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, they didn't do any work with the actual basketball when I was there because they were replacing the lights in the gym. Oh. But they did Monday, and I believe they did Wednesday. And, you know, they had the precautions, you know, wipe, sanitize the ball, after, you know, yep. Nobody – Only one ball per person,
right?
And everything like that. But Jonathan Ashton was really pleased with how and with his team because he said that most everybody was in shape. He said that probably the most in shape basketball team in the state right now because they've had the factory in Myrtle is a gym. It's been open for over a month, so a lot of his players been there working out.
Yeah,
and I mean, I was in there watching them lift weights and in there watching them do their workouts, and I would say that Zach Sugars and Tyson Smithy look more in shape than I've seen them in 3 years. You know,
wow.
They both looked great, you know, out there.
Yeah, those are going to be two huge keys mm-hmm. for them next year, those two guys.
And so, I mean, but everyone as a whole looked in shape. You know, Zach, Tyson, I both talked to them. Jonathan, actually, they're all happy with how everybody looks. They were pleased with, you know, Zach made sure to tell me that, you know, they're not in game shape, of course.
Right.
But he said that they're all in really, really good shape. That's the best shape that he's seen the team in the offseason. So.
Yeah, and this is Ingemar. They don't have to worry about playing football. You know, they have very few sports at that school, and it's basketball is king. So.
Yeah, they had 36 kids out there
at 1A
in a 1A school.
School
for basketball between junior high and high school.
Wow, that's, yeah, that's a lot. All right, so, yeah, team's getting back to work, and we actually, now we do get to see some actual ball games starting this weekend on the baseball diamonds. We've got American Legion starting up this weekend. We've got Cotton States up in New Albany going to get going. Friday, the American Legion starts in Tupelo. I know the 49ers are going to play Pontotoc, I believe,
Friday night. And then I think over the course of the weekend they're going to play Amory, which Amory has a team now, which I was told they weren't.
Okay.
Haven't really followed up on that, but
Okay.
I was told from a couple people and the state director that the Amory was not going to have a team, and then when I saw this schedule for this weekend, there was the Amory's team.
Well, there we go. Okay. So we got that in Cotton State. So they'll have several games this weekend as well. And so that'll be nice. I'm going to try to get out to some Cotton States on Saturday. I think Parrish Alford is going to cover the Legion game Friday night. So that'll be nice. It'll be different.
It'll be nice just to get out there and see a game, even if it's not, you know, a full, like, gamer as we usually do. It'd be nice just to go out there and enjoy a game.
Yeah, it will be. It'll be real nice. I mean, you know, I went out to that Nettleton practice the other day, which was the first time in months that I've actually gone somewhere to do a story. You know, right. It's all been, like, from the office on the phone. And I got back and wrote it, and John Pitts was like, hey, you want to put a dateline on this thing?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I just haven't done it in so long. I forgot.
I've missed the extra mileage money.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I'm having to retrain myself to keep up with mileage as well. Okay, let's talk about some big coaching moves, Dalton. That has not slowed down at all during this pandemic shutdown. The hires keep coming. Big hire on the football front, Smithfield has hired Chad Collins, who was head coach there before. Michael Campbell succeeded him. And then Michael left to be at Obama AHS offensive coordinator, and now Chad Collins is back after, what, 3 years at Raleigh, correct? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's I mean, you know, he's from there, and he was successful when he was there before. He felt it was time to come back. That's a good hire.
Mm-hmm.
Very good hire.
I agree. And he's going to be able to have success down there. Smithville always has athletes, you know.
Yeah, they do.
They've had a success. They, you know, missed the playoffs last year because of a tiebreaker rule.
In a very tough division.
But, I mean, I think, what, the 2 years before that, they played for North Half both years or something, or right there.
Yeah.
You know, fighting for North Half. So, you know.
Yeah.
Has all the tools to come back and be successful just as much as he was whenever he was here last time.
Yeah, I think so. And then a big basketball hire was up at Holly Springs. Andre Jones, who has been the girls' coach the last few years, is now going to take over the boys. You know, Kenzaki Jones coached them this past season. Mm-hmm. He's taken a job at Potts Camp in administration. And so now Andre is going to move over to the boys' bench. When I talked to him last week, he wasn't sure if he was going to still coach the girls. He thinks probably not. But he takes over a boys' team that, of course, has been a contender in 3A the past several years. They made the semifinals last year. And I think they reached the state finals the 2 years before that.
Yeah, they played for the state championship both the last 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And then lost to St. Andrews in the semifinals, who won the state championship this year.
Yeah. And then St. Andrews beat them in 2018 for the state championship. Yeah. So they've been consistently good. Now they're going to miss some big pieces like Derek Fountain.
Corey Bell.
Yep. And so those guys were gone. But I think they've got some – I mean, they got some good players coming back. You got Dedrick Faulkner. You got Marquavis Jones, Dylan King. That's going to be kind of the core of that group. I mean, this is just a program that just keeps churning out good players. So
yeah, Dedrick Faulkner has been really good the last 2 years, especially as a role player. I think he was the one that he hit the game-winning shot against Pontotoc, maybe whenever they played in the Tangle.
Can't remember
whoever they played in the Tangle. He hit the game-winning shot. I don't remember if it was Pontotoc or who, but he made the game-winning shot. So he's, you know, he's been there before.
Yeah, exactly. So, and Andre did a good job with the girls. They went 19-10 this past year. So I think he'll be just fine there, Holly Springs. Back to football. Kevin Walton is on the move once again. You might recall the former East Union head coach was hired as an East Webster assistant back in April. I think it was about 6 weeks ago. And then the other day we learned that he is now going to be an assistant coach at Itawamba AHS. And going to bring his son Ty with him, the quarterback. I mean, they were making plans at East Webster for Ty to take over the offense. Steven Betts, of course, was a very good quarterback for them, but they were going to move him to running back because he does that really well. He runs the ball really well. And that was the plan, but I was talking to Kevin. He said some living arrangements they thought they had lined up fell through, and then this Itawamba job came along, and the money was better. And so he's like, okay, I'm just going to – we're going to go there instead. Just so happens they have an opening at quarterback. And so I think that's obviously a position Ty can help them at. Now, he's not guaranteed the job. He's going to have to compete with a couple other guys. And it's a step up from 2A to 4A, especially in that division. But he's a good athlete, and I think he'll contribute to that offense. And, you know, it's one of those moves that it's kind of weird. You hate to see it, but, you know, I don't – probably some people would criticize him for it. I don't know if you can in this situation. It's kind of unique. By the way, he never signed his contract. So.
Right. Sometimes just things fall through. Some things don't happen. I mean.
Yeah, it happens. I mean, he was thankful to Ron Price for the chance. He hated that it ended up going that way, but that's just the way it went. So Kevin will be coaching, I believe, receivers up there at Awamba. Again, Michael Campbell's the OC. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, got a strong offensive coaching staff there.
Yeah, good little staff there. And, I mean, they've shown, Itawamba's shown, and, you know, they can succeed with different kinds of quarterbacks. You know, Davion Sistrunk last year was not a pocket passer.
No, he was a converted receiver, yeah.
Yeah, and then, but the year before, you know, Jackson Orr was a 100% a pocket passer.
Right.
So Ty Walton can go in there and, you know, I don't know how well he can run. I have never seen him play in an actual game.
Yeah, but he ran that RPO pretty well for them. So
it might be a little mix of both of them.
Yeah, you know, and they'll have some decent running backs, I believe, as well. One more coaching move real quick. Faulkner has a new head coach, Jeff Anglin, an assistant from Biggersville. And I think this is his first head coaching job, yes?
Yeah, that's what he told me. He's coached in four or five different places, I think.
Thrasher, Tisch County.
Ripley.
Biggersville, yeah.
He was a head junior high coach at Ripley, but his first head high school coaching job. He said he's going to coach the offense. I think at Faulkner there's only one offensive coach, one defense coach. That's all you have on the staff.
Yeah, it's always been a small staff there. Yeah.
And so he's going to coach offense. He's coached offense before at Ripley. Whenever he was junior high, he coached offense. He coached offensive line at Tisch County. So, you know, he said, you know, he's coached defense a lot more than offense, but to coach defense, you have to know offense. So he feels pretty comfortable that he can go over there and do that.
Exactly.
And he's just excited to do it.
And with his hire, I believe that fills every open football head coaching position in the area.
You better knock on some wood.
No, unless somebody else leaves. I think that's 13 teams will have new head coaches this fall, if my math is good. My math is not always good. But that's a lot. You got Jamal Jackson at Bruce. You got MD Jennings at Cal City. Of course, Todd Lott at East Union, and et cetera, et cetera. Baylor Dampier at Houston. Anyway, so yeah, a lot of good coaches getting jobs at different schools. And this coaching carousel has been kind of insane this offseason. I don't know. It seems like more so than usual.
Yeah, Corona hit, and everyone's like, let's get out of where we're at. Let's go.
I guess 13. I don't remember. Last year there were not near that many. There were maybe 8 or 10 changes.
And it just hasn't been football, though. We've had a lot of basketball as well.
That's true, we have. And we had a little bit of even had a few baseball and softball coaching changes as well. So
it's probably been easily over 20 coaches this offseason so far.
I mean, I've got a list of just 7 basketball coaching changes. I'm sure there's more because it's easy to miss basketball changes, but 7 major ones for sure.
And it's funny though, because you know it happens, and usually you know they get board approved before it gets announced and everything. So we'll be sitting there, and all of a sudden 4 of them come at one time, and then we won't have anything for a week.
Oh, it's Tuesday, time for hirings to come out, or whenever they meet. Okay, so that's a kind of a recap of some recent coaching moves. Let's wrap up the show with a shout out. Speaking of coaches, Lee Berryhill of East Webster has announced his retirement. He's been coaching baseball and softball for 26 years, has 7 state titles, 2 in baseball, right?
Yeah. Yeah. 5 in softball, 2 in baseball.
Yeah, and he's been at East Webster how long?
8 years.
8 years. And he was at Yapor.
For 17.
Yeah, okay.
And then was at Wheeler for this first
year. That's right. That's right. So, yeah, he's a coaching legend around here, definitely. Mm-hmm. You did the story on him, didn't you?
I did, yeah. He was a... got an opportunity he couldn't pass up. Couldn't tell me that opportunity, of course, but he wasn't planning to leave East Webster whenever he did, when the season was cut short.
Right.
But he said the opportunity jumped in his face and he couldn't let it go. So
okay. Well,
I think he said it was supposed to come out later this week, but I haven't seen anything. So
I'll check back on that.
Yeah. but yeah, you know, at East Webster, I guess, 7.5 years because he didn't get to play. So
right.
That would be, 15 chances I think he played, or 15 seasons he coached there,
right,
between slow pitch and fast pitch.
Right, I got you.
And he played for North half 11 times.
Wow.
So that's pretty consistent.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It's pretty dominant.
Yeah. Well, congrats on a fine career, Lee, and that's all the time we have for this episode of Prep Rally, the last one featuring Dalton Middleton.
I should have talked to the entire time. I should just let you sit there.
I'd have cut you off at some point. I'm the one controlling the board here. So, All right. Well, it's been fun, Dalton. Of course, you're moving to Starkville, so I won't even see you around the office that much.
I'll still be around a little bit, but I would. It's going to be a lot easier for me to drive 10 minutes than drive 2 hours if I need to go to a 5-minute press conference or something one day.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. All righty. That's it, people. That's all the time we got. The podcast will carry on. I don't know when the next episode will be, but we're going to keep doing it. We'll have somebody filling in Dalton's shoes here at the Journal. I guess we could say who it is. I don't know if he's announced it himself yet.
He has not. I don't believe. But
well, we'll just wait and introduce him next time we have a podcast. Just a reminder, you can find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. Follow Dalton on Twitter at dlmiddleton8 for updates on MSU sports as he transitions into that role. And I'm on there at Bradlock. All right. That's all the time we got. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.